High and deep to left field. Brett Lurie. That breaking ball, and there's that base hit. Kobe Rasmus is coming around third, and he's way cold. The relay is not in time. Brett Lurie, another clutch hit.
Phil Hughes, base at first, not going high. Deep drive to left field. Brett Lurie has just left the yard. Two-run home.
Sportsfeld story time. We are taking you back, all the way back, 10 years back. It is September 5th, 2011. We are in the thick of Brett Lurie mania. If you weren't there, we say many times, if you weren't there, you would not believe the ridiculousness that was Brett Lurie injecting life into a 500 team 15 games back of first place in the American League. We have arrived at the 30th game of Brett Lurie's career, which at this point is hard to believe. He had been in the league for 1 month. He was hitting 317, 372, 663 for a 1.035 OPS. He had already hit 7 home runs and driven in 20. He had hit 4 triples, 7 doubles, 33 hits, and 18 of his 33 hits were for extra bases. He'd struck out 23 times also, but we're not going to talk about that. Getting on a ton, adding tons of wins, even though the team was still 5, they were 13 and 16 in his first 29 games. Brett Lurie, an absolute fireball. And coming in, the Blue Jays in this game came into this game 69 and 71. So 2 games below 500, had just lost to the Yankees, and they were at home. It was a Monday afternoon. Monday at 1:08 p.m. local time, 27,000
Labor Day, baby.
573 fans piled into the Rogers Center on a holiday Monday in 2011. Crazy.
It's a really fun lineup for the Blue. You can tell it's like we're 14 games back kind of lineup. You have Mike McCoy hitting leadoff.
That is offensive. Mike McCoy leading off and playing shortstop, no less.
Yes, you have Eric Thames in left field. You have Jose Molina behind the plate. You have Dwayne Wise in center. You have Henderson Alvarez on the hill going up against Josh Beckett, who in 2011 was an all-star and ninth in Cy Young voting. The makings of just an absolute shit-kicking.
Yeah, you got to assume they were going to lose this game. By the way, Dwayne Wise, who goes 0-for-4 and strikes out 4 times, should be noted at the bottom. Mike McCoy stole 2 bases in this game. Anyway, go on.
I was just saying, it's kind of for an 11-inning thriller in early September in a lost season. We sort of talked about in the last couple episodes sort of how Brett Lurie couldn't have been anything else, and his career with the Blue Jays couldn't have gone any other way, because that's just how it was going to happen. This game you could maybe say that the Grand Slam against Oakland we talked about last week was the peak of Lurie mania. I think it's this game, which is why we're talking about it today. Couldn't have asked for a better script if you were looking for optimism about the 2012 Blue Jays than this game.
And I'll tell you, we'll get into all of it in a minute here, but this entire series, I will say, is your ticket into Lurie mania, because by the end of this series is the highest his average will be for the rest of the year. He comes out of this series hitting 330, 403, 678, because in this 4 games against Boston where they go 3-1, he has 5 hits, a home run, draws 4 walks. Like, he hits 455 against Boston and gets on base 62% of the time. Like, he chews up Boston. And that was part of the appeal, of course. Wasn't just that he was this maniac that was playing well. He was doing it against the Yankees and the Red Sox. Like that,
right.
That did matter. Like it, we were desperate. You have to understand. We were desperate. So he had a good series against the Yankees. He had a good series against the Red Sox. And it was like, yes, we've got our answer to this unsolvable puzzle, which is the American League East.
Yeah. And to your point, this game kicked off that four game series, but there's some like, there are some crazy games in this series. Like the day after this, the Red Sox beat the Blue Jays 14-0.
Yeah, that seems right.
2 days later, an 11-10 thriller. The Blue Jays score 5 runs in the bottom of the eighth. To your point, Brett Laurie, that game moves up in the batting order. Oh no, he's still hitting sixth. Hit six. He goes 2 for 2, 2 runs and a walk. Stolen base, being hit by a pitch. And then in the closing game of the series, it's a 7-4 Blue Jays victory. Brett Laurie goes 2 for 4 with 2 runs scored, just like, and a double. But, and I think to your point though, you look at maybe that last game, that 7-4 victory in the fourth game of the series, and you really see why Laurie mania, I think, was tied in with this thought that the Blue Jays might be building something. You look at the lineup for that game, you have, you know, Escobar leading off, you have Thames in left, Bautista in right, Encarnacion DHing, Laurie at third, Aaron Sebia catching, Ricky Romero on the hill. Romero goes 6 2/3 for his 14th win of the year, and you're like, okay, they're putting something together, and the core of it, the guy in the middle of this that's going to bring it all together and give us our identity is a Canadian named Brett Laurie.
You had to love it. You absolutely had to love it. As you mentioned, this game starts off height of Laurie mania, also maybe the height of like Henderson Alvarez is a guy for the future for us.
Mm-hmm.
Hendo, 6 innings, 4 hits, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts, drops his ERA to 2.95, if you can believe that.
Wow. I actually can't believe that, and I lived through it.
He's an all-star in 2014, Henderson Alvarez.
Really?
He made 30 starts, had 3 shutouts, and posted a ERA of 2.65 at age 24.
Wow. And was out of the league 2 years later.
He made 7 more starts over the next 3 years and then never pitched again in the major leagues. Isn't that strange?
Baseball is a cruel game, man.
Henderson Alvarez. 30, and he's also 31 years old.
That's wild.
Very strange how that sort of happens. One of those guys that I remember as it was happening, it was like he's not doing anything spectacularly well other than not getting absolutely lit up, which was enough. As you mentioned, Josh Beckett on the other side, he goes 3 2/3. Then Alfredo Aceves goes 3 2/3. Daniel Bard goes 1 2/3. Jonathan Papelbon throws a scoreless inning. For the Jays, it was Hendo Alvarez, then Carlos Villanueva 1 inning, then Casey Jansen 1 inning, then Frank Francisco 2 innings, somehow does not cough it up despite being Frank Francisco, and Sean Kemp, the happy man, camper, top of the 11th, no problem.
Remember how fun it was to hate Jonathan Papelbon?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I feel like baseball needs more villains. There was a real streak there of like real easy to hate relief pitchers.
Mm.
Like you had your John Rockers, you had your Jonathan Papelbons, you had your not reliever, but you had your Curt Schillings. Like we don't really have. There's not a lot of villains in baseball anymore.
It's mostly just Bauer.
Yeah. I guess it's just Bauer.
I mean, I don't know who else it would be. It becomes, you know, Rougned Odor, I guess, but it's almost like pathetic now at this point. He's just like
terrible. And that's like, and that's pretty like local to the Jays.
Yes, that's true. He's just terrible. What else can you even say?
He's so bad. Entertaining for us from a Schadenfreude perspective, but.
Sure. Yeah, no,
unquestionably. But it's not the same as like everyone hated Papelbon.
Yeah.
Red Sox fans kind of hated Papelbon. Like,
the Blue Jays would get runners on first and third in the first. They get a runner on third in the second. They put runners on second and third in the third inning. They get runners on first and second in the top of the fourth. The first and third in the bottom of the fourth. Really, they threaten a bunch of times in this game. They put 2 on in the bottom of the eighth, but Adam Lind strikes out. And then the bottom of the ninth with 2 out, Brett Laurie faces Daniel Bard. Unfortunately, he grounds out. So we go to extra innings. As I mentioned, Frank Francisco gets Ellsbury, and Pedroia walks Adrian Gonzalez, who I'd forgotten played for the Boston Red Sox. Remember Adrian Gonzalez?
I do, but not a name I've thought of in quite some time.
No kidding. Adrian Gonzalez gets out of the jam by getting David Ortiz to ground out third base on, I believe, a shift. Bottom of the 10th, Jose Molina singles. Dwayne Wise strikes out on a foul bunt. Who is managing this team? Charlie Montoyo asks. Chris Woodward, who I believe is now the manager of the Texas Rangers, pinch runs for Molina and then moves to second on a pickoff attempt. Mark Tian, remember Mark Tian?
I do remember. Chris Woodward also needs to be said part of the Drury. The Brandon Drury All-Stars of guys that for some reason my brain thinks are Canadian.
Yes, Chris Woodward is not Canadian.
But just are not at all.
Huh. Was Mark Tian Canadian? I feel like that one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, honey. Half Canadian. Thank you.
There you go.
Mark Tian pinch hits and walks. Eric Thames strikes out. Jose Bautista walks. We have bases loaded. Bottom of the 10th for Adam Lind. And he strikes out swinging to Papelbon, who I'm sure made a dumb face and looked like an idiot and puffed his way to the dugout because that's what Jonathan Papelbon did.
Not like the guy that we're doing the whole story time on, who was never like that in the dugout.
Completely different. Completely different. Completely different situation. Completely different situation. Top of the 11th is Sean Camp. As I mentioned, he gets Kevin Youkilis. Speaking of names I haven't thought about. Speaking of names you thought that you would be talking about for the rest of your life when they were playing, and then it was basically immediately forgotten. Kevin Youkilis.
Also the next guy up, who when he signed in Boston, it was like the world was over.
Yes. Well, they got Carl Crawford and they got Gonzalez in the same offseason.
Yeah. I thought Carl Crawford was going to be like the next Ken Griffey.
Yeah. Well, when he played for Tampa Bay, he was against the Blue Jays.
Yeah, that's right.
He basically.
And then when Boston gone, it was like, oh, it's over. They're going to be like, it doesn't matter now.
Josh Reddick, who I think is still in the league.
Yes, I think he just got signed to a minor league deal somewhere.
Pops out, and we go to the 11th. It's Encarnacion, a deep fly ball. Does not go out. Kelly Johnson pops out. Kelly Johnson was bad as a Blue Jay.
I had such exciting high hopes for Kelly Johnson as a Blue Jay. I don't know why, but I remember when they got him, I was like, okay, that's like a legitimate. It was how low expectations were back then. It was like, that's a legitimate major leaguer. This is a great idea. And then it like was Kelly Johnson.
He is cut from the who was the guy they had last year that they picked up? Jonathan Villar Cloth.
Yeah.
Of like he doesn't play for your team, so you don't see all the reasons why you would hate watching him. And you're like,
yes, that's exactly
the numbers. Like, oh, numbers wise, Kelly Johnson's a usable second baseman. And then he gets here and you're like, oh no.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So two out in the 11th. It's time for the one and only.
And you can forget about it. Brett Laurie has just walked off the Red Sox. Home run number 8. The 9th walk-off win for the Blue Jays this season. Brett Laurie with his first comes on his 8th home run.
That's how you do it. And I think he knew it too. Pitch in the middle of the plate. He extends through it, home run number 8, and the Blue Jays go to 9-0 at home in extra innings. That's a no doubt about it right there.
Brett Laurie, it's a walk-off, 11th inning, 1-0 home run against the hated Boston Red Sox, who would be a 90-win team. Jake, what was your memory of the incredible Brett Laurie Labor Day walk-off?
I actually remember it really well. I was in my parents' basement watching the game, and it was Labor Day, I'm pretty sure. Only reason I can think of for a 1 o'clock Monday game in early September. And it was like, as we said, it was the height of Laurie mania. Obviously, I was on board because he was so entertaining, so crazy. And then he came up in this spot, and it kind of was, it had that feeling of like, well, of course he's gonna.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like a predetermined thing, quite like we saw with some of like the Bautista Donaldson at bats later on, was like, well, like I compare this one in my brain a lot to the Donaldson walk off in the final home game of the 2015 season against Tampa. When I was like, of course he's going to walk it off, but this was close. And this was like, I remember he came up and it was that sort of dual feeling of like, this is too perfect. There's no way. Like he can't, because we were sort of conditioned, like he can't keep this up and he won't keep this up. Like he's good, but he's not, like, is he that good? And then it was, and then like the ball left the bat and it was just like, it was joy. It was excitement. It was like, it again, like we've said so many times over the last couple of weeks, it's hard to explain if you weren't there, but it really felt in this moment when that ball left the bat, it really felt like the next major league superstar had arrived and he played for the Jays.
Yeah. And boy, he was, he could always, he just gets so damn fired up. It's just so
he
funny.
He runs the bases in like 9 seconds. It's great.
Brett Russell Laurie. It was everything you said and more. Absolutely correct. He was absolutely destined to be in that spot and to hit that home run. It was like not a surprise and not out of the ordinary. I mean, as I said, he'd hit 7 home runs in 30 games coming into that spot. In this season, the person that he drove in the most was himself. The person that he's driven in by the most was himself. He was this, like, you had Batista as this guy that was like coming into his own and becoming a legitimate guy. And he was this bright, shiny, like the young, brash star that was going to be the piece that completed the puzzle and never looked more the part than he did on September 5th, 2011. Absolutely incredible.
If you had told me on September 5th at like, well, this was a 3-hour, 50-minute game. So if you had told me at 5 p.m. on September 5th, 2011, that 10 years later, we would barely remember the Brett Laurie era of the Blue Jays or would only remember it for the wrong reasons, I would have thought you were crazy.
And that 10 years later, he had been out of the league for 5 years.
Right. Yeah.
We will get into that. We will get into what happens after the summer of Brett Laurie, the missed games, the injuries, the trade, and everything after as has not been seen since the beginning of 2016. All that and more next week on the next episode of Sports Felt Storytime.